Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st century talk for a no-bullshit world. Because who doesn't want to elevate themselves, their company, or their brand to a whole new level? Everybody does, right? Well, if you do, and you just don't know how to, then we've got a real treat for you today. I'm going to be speaking with Laurel Mintz, the founder of Elevate My Brand. That's right, Laurel has built a career that blends her deep personal passion for food, wine, and lifestyle with considerable business acumen and legal expertise. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. You're going to get a real treat when we hear from Laurel a little bit later. She's going to be calling in. If you want to learn more about social media and public relations, then check out yesterday's show. Yeah, I want to give a shout out and thanks to my public relations partner, Jana Camo of A-Line Media. Yeah, check it out. A-LineMedia.com is her firm, and she's all about maximizing the benefits of social media because knowledge is power. We all know that, right? And I'm all about empowering yourself with the know-how to elevate your mind, body, and soul, not to mention your business and or your brand. Yeah, check it out. And if you didn't hear the big news yesterday, we got some news there. Did you read about it on my social media feeds, at Rich Tola? That's all over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, so Monday, we're going to be moving over to YouTube. That's right, the new channel, youtube.com/ToLaTalks. We're getting that ready for you. It's up there now. Jana did a good job of getting that ready. So we're going to be broadcasting on Monday, noon, same time. We're going to be live. We're filming it live and then posting at noon. Should be a lot of fun. I'm really, really excited to get back in front of the camera. You guys know I spent 5 years in training when I first got here. I've been here 8 years. The first 5 years, I mean, I spent, I don't know, 2-3 days a week with different acting coaches and, you know, honing my skills in front of the camera. Love it. I also put out 15 plus hours of instructional videos, fitness and yoga, that is, and made a film as well. So really excited to get in front of the camera there. So we're going to be live on the radio plus YouTube. Yeah, and I want to give a special thanks to the folks here at LA Talk Radio. The owners, Sam, engineer Ronan, and Ronnie. I mean, they've done a great job of providing a platform of gaining knowledge, you know, because it's all about gaining the knowledge and experience. So kudos, guys. Yeah, I look forward to stopping back again. And who knows, maybe Sam in the morning. Sam's got a show at 10 o'clock. Give a shout out to Sam. Hopefully he'll have me back for number three, right? Good things come in threes. I've been on his show twice, so that's a lot of fun. But let's get started today with some shout outs. Yeah, we're going back to Washington, D.C., the Bernstein Companies. My good buddies, Adam Bernstein and Joe Gala. I give a shout out to those guys and the firm and everyone there doing their thing in the real estate business. And I want to give a special shout out to Camille Gallai from her uncle Adam. That's right. Camille, you know, you keep smiling, girl. Keep smiling. Be happy, you know, always. So there you go. Shout outs to the family. Yeah, let's do some celebrity birthday shout outs. You guys remember Carrie Strug? Well, she's 37. Who's Carrie Strug, you might ask? You remember? Well, maybe not. She won the gold in 1996 in the Olympics, right? As part of Bella Caroli's Magnificent Seven. I don't know if you remember, but she had to perform a second vault to assure the U.S. of the gold, right? It was U.S.-Russia. It was very competitive, and she had hurt her ankle in the vault before. And Caroli, I mean, she actually made the vault, the second vault, to earn the gold for the team. And Caroli carried her to the podium. She became a national sports hero, cover Sports Illustrated. Remember that, you know, whatever it takes, you got to do it. And she did. That was awesome. Yeah, give a shout out, birthday shout out to Jodie Foster's 52 today. You know her, two-time Oscar winner, Silence of the Lambs. I love her. The Accuser. What about Taxi Driver back in 1976 at Robert De Niro? I mean, she's awesome. So, happy birthday to you, Jody. Meg Ryan's 53 today. Ooh, love her. Remember her from Top Gun. That was one of my favorites. Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally. And then yesterday we were talking about Princeton and Trenton. And George Washington. I kind of made reference to her film. It was IQ was the name of the film. I kind of had a memory lapse yesterday. But she's done some great work. What about another birthday? Ann Curry. I was a big fan of Ann Curry, journalist. She was a co-anchor of the Today Show up until a couple years ago, until 2012. And then finally, one of my idols, Calvin Klein, is 72 today. You know, I've been wearing Calvin Klein underwear for 30 plus years. Even have a little story about it in my memoir. When I answered the door one New Year's Eve day to my good friend Leslie up in Boston area. Well, no, Providence. I think you're up in Providence, right? Yeah, I answered the door. Here's a quick little story. I just moved into a building. It was a warehouse in Philadelphia, not too far from the Black Banana. We talk about that a lot. And I think it was 1989 or 1990, somewhere around there. And I had been moving in, and they give you a key, a storage key. And I forgot to give the key back. So this woman, it's like 6 o'clock at night. I just moved in. She's banging on the door. I'm like, who the hell's banging? But I answer the door in my Calvin. She just like, you know, she was all pissed off at the time. And then she started laughing. It was fun. Broke the ice. And Leslie and I have been great friends ever since. So there you go. Some birthday shots. Way to go, Calvin. Way to you know, set the stage for everyone else to make history. Speaking of history, on this day in history, let's go back. 1805, the explorers Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean today, making them the first European-American explorers to cross the continental U.S. Hey, you guys know the story of Lewis and Clark. 1863, okay, who knows this? You have to know this. Who said this? 47 years ago, started his speech, the Gettysburg Address, delivered by U.S. President Abraham Lincoln. On this day in history, 1975, me being a big cinephile, what happened then? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Wow, that premiered, right? Starring Jack Nicholson, Louise Fletcher, Danny DeVito, Christopher Lloyd. What a tremendous film. It was the first film in 41 years to basically sweep the Oscars. It won Best Picture, Director, Actor, Actress, and Screenplay. Five-time Oscar-winning film. Awesome, right? Classic. And in 1980, let's see what happened. Going back to our boy Calvin Klein. CBS bans Calvin Klein's Jean ad featuring Brooke Shields. No, Brooke Wells. She just came out with a memoir. There was a little girl. Talks about her mommy and her. So check it out. She's on a little promotional book tour. And I remember back in the day when I was a senior. I think Brooke's a year older than me, if I recall. And she was at Princeton University. And a buddy of mine at the time, actually partied with her. I don't know, partied with her, but ended up at her apartment. She had a place on the square there. I was thinking Rittenhouse Square, but it's Palmer Square. Yeah, Palmer Square, downtown Princeton. I think Brooke Shields was allowed to live off campus her freshman year because of her celebrityhood. And yeah, he ended up hanging out in her place one night, said she was awesome. I mean, I don't know if it's not like he was with her or anything, but I do remember that. Who knows, he might have been bullshitting me, but I do remember that. And now 1998, on the heels of the Lewinsky scandal, the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee begins impeachment hearings against U.S. President Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I love that. All right, well, here we go. You know, enough of that. Let's go around the globe for the latest news. I'm calling this To Be or Not To Be. Sexy, that is. So, who took the crown for the 2014 Sexiest Man Alive? Nah, it wasn't me, but it was the Aussie Chris Hemsworth. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, you know Thor, everybody knows him. Well, he took the crown as bestowed by People Magazine. Yeah, and he took over from last year's winner, Adam Levine. Everybody knows him, Maroon 5, The Voice, and I really liked him in Begin Again. I did critique that movie with Keira Knightley. You got to go check it out in the archives. It was a Movie Monday review, Begin Again. Liked that movie. And the title of Sexiest Man Alive comes with a beefcake photo spread, interview, and yeah, he's definitely going to be on the cover of People, right? Of course. Yeah, he had some stiff competition. I don't know how stiff it was, but Guardians of the Galaxy star Chris Pratt, I could see that. And the future Oscars host, Neil Patrick Harris. I can't see that. I'm not sure why they're putting him in that category. But anyway, he can't even shine his shoes over there. But Hemsworth surprised everyone late in the game, they say, and he joked to people that he, quote, hit his peak a few years ago, yeah, says the hunky dad of three. He's got three kids. And previous winners include, again, I'm not on this list, but George Clooney won twice, 1997 and 2006. Brad Pitt, two-time winner, 95 and 2001. Johnny Depp, two-time winner. Those all three of those guys should have won a few times. Depp was 2003, 2009. And Matthew McConaughey, of course, from 2005. Matt Damon was 2007. Ben Affleck, 2002. And Channing Tatum, 2012. He definitely should be winning. He'll probably win again. All right. So on that note, let's move on to our next story. I'm calling this Ganesha Squared. We're going over to India. And you guys know Ganesha, who Ganesha is? I do. I have a statue of Ganesha. Really, really beautiful bronze. Give a shout out to my girl Gina, who was with me when I bought that. Gina from Chicago. Ganesha is also known as Ganapati. And Donna DeLore sings the song Ganapati Om, which I play in my yoga classes. But it's best known, well, one of the best known, I guess most worshipped deities in the Hindu pantheon. His image is found throughout India. This I know quite well because I studied about Ganesha. It's a boy with four arms with the head of an elephant. There's a whole story behind it. We're not going to get into all that. But he's known as God of the Beginnings, right? Or God of intellect and wisdom and the remover of all obstacles and the patron of the arts and sciences. Supreme deity, Ganesha. And, well, this is not exactly the reincarnation of Ganesh, but a baby was born with four arms and four legs. And it's been nicknamed God Boy because his birth defect makes him resemble the Hindu god. When he was born, one relative said, the nurses said he was badly deformed, but I could see this was a sign from God. His condition is believed to be a result of a parasitic twin attached to him in the womb. Right. The chairman of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Hackensack University Medical Center said, quote, with co-joined twins, you have two living fetuses that are attached either by head, abdomen, or legs. With parasitic twins, it's the same principle, except there is a malfunction of one of these twins. As a result, the twins never fully develop and is then partially encased in the living fetus. That's interesting. Now, an eight-limbed girl was born in India. And it's also interesting that these children are born in India, right? Something to be said about that. Not sure. But in 2005, a little girl was, she was born, created a similar stir. But after a 27-hour operation to sever the twin, when she was 2 years old, Lakshmi Tatma was able to walk. Well, that's nice. And as far as this boy goes, his family's overjoyed. But a police officer... Yeah, this is like kind of, what do you think? A police officer struggled to control the curious crowds. He said it was tragic that hundreds of people are praying and crying in the streets. Some of them think it's the end of the world. Well, it's not the end of the world. These things do happen. I mean, they're rare, but not many billions of people on the planet. So, of course, things are going to happen. So, hey, good luck to the family and the little boy. And hopefully, you know, they don't make a spectacle out of him, but more or less keep him as a God boy. I think that's a good thing. All right, moving on. Sad but true, I'm calling this, because it is sad but true. Yesterday's story, did you hear about this? Well, if you didn't listen to yesterday's story, you should go listen in the archives or my website, richtola.com. They're going to be, all these shows are on there as well. But yesterday's story about Miss Honduras and her sister who went missing after a birthday party 3 days before they were to leave for London for the Miss World competition. Well, unfortunately, she was found shot to death. They both were found shot to death in an act of passion by a jealous boyfriend of the sister, and they were buried in a riverbank in the mountains, police said this morning. The boyfriend, Plutarco Antonio Ruiz, 26-year-old nasty, I don't even want to call him names, but he confessed to killings, and he led the police to the bodies. I mean, he became angry. Now, this is what people do. Okay, we're going to talk about this for a second. When his ex-girlfriend, Sofia Trinidad, she's the sister of the beauty queen, who was Maria Jose Alvarado, was dancing with another man. Okay, so this guy loses his cool, and he allegedly shot Sofia to death and then killed Alvarado when she tried to flee. Yeah, police said Ruiz and his accomplice, Aris Maldonado, admitted burying the bodies near the river so they would decompose quickly. And then they also said they went back and tried to clean up the crime scene. Well, listen, ladies, anyone, any age, I don't care if you're 14, 15, young to 45, 50, 60, 70, it doesn't matter. If you got a guy who's a nasty guy, you're going to know it. If you dated a guy who's a bad soul, you're going to know it. And if he starts bothering you, I'll tell you what, you got to tell him out of the gate. You got to say, hey, leave me alone. I'm going to get a restraining order. And you need to do that. You need to go to the police. If some guy exhibits any type of craziness, because there's a lot of wackos out there, okay? These wackos, you know, they don't learn their lessons early in life and they turn out to be nasty people. So you got to be careful. You cannot put yourself in harm's way because I'll tell you, it could be a bad thing. So go get a restraining order. You tell somebody, if someone is a real person who, you know, has a good head on their shoulders and you tell the guy, hey, leave me alone, I'm going to get a restraining order, let me tell you, he's going to leave you alone. If he doesn't leave you alone, call the police. Because you can't have this. You can't have this happening. Some wacko. All right, this guy should be shot in the head without a doubt. Okay, well, anyway, I don't want to get all fired up over that. But you got to be careful, especially the younger ladies out there. You sometimes don't know what you're dealing with. You're just looking to hook up, whatever. Be careful. Be careful out there. All right, let's move on. I'm calling this, where the buffalo roam. Well, not exactly. Well, maybe they do, but it's the first brutal snowfall this season left several dead. Seven, to be exact. At present, it's seven. And it looked to set an all-time U.S. record for snowfall in a 24-hour period. Yeah, we're talking in the whole New York Buffalo area. And this snow was blamed on several deaths. Well, three of them from heart attacks, from shoveling, couple of others, total of seven in the New York area, two other deaths, well, seven total, two were reported in New Hampshire and Michigan. The snow was still falling this morning, and they had, more than 5 feet already on the ground. Some areas south of Buffalo are expected to get a year's worth of snow, which is 6 feet, in just 3 days. That's wild. You know, we reported on this a little while ago about how the nation's going to get, United States is going to get a little lower than normal temperatures, but a lot of snowfall. And the national snowfall record for a 24-hour period is 76 inches. It was set in Silver Lake, Colorado in 1921. Some Buffalo suburbs approached that amount yesterday, possibly the highest in a populated area. Right, temperatures in all 50 states, even California, I mean, it was pretty cold the last couple of days, fell to freezing or below overnight. Even Jacksonville, Florida. I got some stories in Jacksonville. You're going to have to go to my memoir for that one. Right, last time the storm this huge hit was in December 2001, when there was 80 to 90 inches of snowfall in a five-day period. Now, the deaths also included a 46-year-old man who died in his car was buried in the snow, and a 30-year-old man from Pennsylvania. This occurred in New York, but he died while he was stuck between two cars. He was helping to gain traction, and there's some bad stuff out there. You got to be careful. As for plowing, the snow removal crews are saying it's like plowing a brick wall. So, hey, folks, stay inside. I mean, if you're elderly, especially, yeah, my folks especially, I know my old man's out there shoveling when he shouldn't be shoveling. You got to take it easy. You can't be putting yourself, again, in harm's way just over some white stuff on the ground. So seek help if you need some help, maybe a neighbor, snowblower, whatever. Don't go out there and beat yourself up because, hey, you never know, right? So good luck to everyone who's in the snow on the ground. We don't have it here, of course, but it's a nice, beautiful weather, a little chilly for us, but we're handling it. So good luck to everybody. And let's move on to the next story. I'm calling this, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's a Cadillac. Or back in my younger days, we used to call them Cadoos. Yeah, talk about fast. The new 2016 ATS-V Cadillac is capable of reaching speeds of 185 miles an hour. Delivered from its 455 horsepower 3.6 liter V6 engine. I didn't even know a V6 engine could power something that quick. Back in the day, there were V8s, so I don't know. But besides its blistering speed, it could fly, no pun intended, off the starting line at 60 miles an hour in a mere 3.9 seconds. Yeah, it's due to appear today at the Los Angeles Auto Show. I usually check that out every year. But it's interesting, they're coming out with 2016 cars. Whatever. Now it's only 2014. I guess they're pumping it up. But what's the point of going so fast, guys? I'm not really sure. Okay, I don't know what you're promoting, but it's the fastest Cadillac ever, says David Leone, Caddy's executive chief engineer. Power comes from turbochargers that spin up faster with titanium connecting rods. It also incorporates an advanced suspension that responds and adjusts quicker to bumps. I sure hope so. Otherwise, you'll be You'd be cruising through the air just like Lloyd and Harry did in Dumb and Dumber 2. Gotta go check that out. I reviewed that film on this past Monday. But yeah, not to mention it's got light carbon fiber hood. It's got a hood and a front spoiler, I guess. Or they calling it a splitter, but I guess it's a spoiler. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you need to go that fast. But if you do, or just like Cadillacs, beautiful car, by the way. Four-door version. Yeah, really pretty. Yeah, on that note, let's talk about sponsors. Want to thank our sponsors today. Got a couple here. Dress for Success. Yeah, Dress for Success is an international non-for-profit organization that promotes the economic independence of disadvantaged women by providing professional attire, a network of support, and career development tools to help women thrive in work and in life. Because it's all about helping fellow mankind, or for dressforsuccess.org, it's womankind, by helping those less fortunate. Just like West Coast director Rena De Assis and the folks in Los Angeles have done by serving more than 4,000 clients, by partnering with over 160 community agencies since opening in 2009. Yeah, check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at DFS West. And my Tola Talks interview, I did interview Rita, really good interview, on October 29th, or come to the event. They got one starting tomorrow, the 20th through the 23rd. I'll be there Saturday, probably late afternoon. It's called Shop for Success LA. It takes place in Westwood Village, right? UCLA's, that's the hood. There at 1000 Westwood Boulevard. 100% of all proceeds to benefit the charity. That's right, because there's some designers that are going to be, you know, displaying their clothes. You're going to be buying them 30% of retail value, sometimes maybe somewhere in that range, but all the money is going to go supporting this foundation. Love it. Love what they're up to. Yeah, check it out in the archives, Arena. They're doing some great things, and way to go. They've served over about 800,000 women to date throughout the world. So check it out. Yeah. And how about John Francis Beauty? Oh, yeah. You want to look and feel your best with one of the most sought after editorial and celebrity stylists in the business? Then look no further. John Francis, founder and chief visionary of John Francis Beauty, is a creative force of nature with an eye for defining the latest styles. Yeah, his creative vision, combined with his talents for enhancing the natural beauty of his clients, such as Hayden Panettiere, Hilary Duff, Gerard Butler, and Sting, just to name a few, have made him quite the industry favorite. You can visit his website at johnfrancisbeauty.com. Follow him on Facebook and Instagram at johnfrancisbeauty. You should definitely check him out because both men and women, yeah, you don't have to be a celebrity to experience the best. Check out my Tola Talks interview. I mean, I know John Francis, good guy. Matter of fact, I'm going to go see him tomorrow after the show. Got to get myself all pruned up for Monday's YouTube premiere. Yeah, but I interviewed John Francis on September 8th. Fascinating guy with a passion for style as well as hair. Not to mention, he's a family man who's into surfing and motocross. Love this guy. Got to go check him out. Yeah, he does wonderful work. His assistant, Sarah, doing all good things over there. So say hello to those guys. I'll be seeing them tomorrow. All right. On that note, let's give out an award. Get Your Shit Together Award. Everybody knows, did the 30 episode, Get Your Shit Together podcast, covers everything. Yeah, talk about creepy guys. That's episode 14, Don't Be a Creep. Some of these guys out there, they really need to learn life's lessons because a lot of you younger folks, especially in your 20s, you just don't have your shit together, right? How you treat people, disrespect women as well. I mean, I don't want to even tell you about the crazy dates I've been on. And then after 2-3 hours if you're on a date, the girl tells you like she has a boyfriend. Come on. Anyway. So here we go. Get Your Shit Together Award. This goes out to some jackass over there in the state of New York. Comes from Yonkers. I do know Yonkers. Yeah, did you hear about this lunatic? Okay. This takes place, well, he was arrested yesterday in connection with the discovery last spring, it was April, of 25 dead cats hanging from trees in plastic bags. What the hell is this guy thinking? Okay. Such a grisly find. It prompted animal lovers, including Black Sabbath, the band Black Sabbath, the bassist Geezer Butler, to post a $25,000 reward. Yeah, reward money to get the guy who, well, the reward was actually for the person that killed and put them in these bags. Now, they can't prove that the guy killed the cats. Yeah, it's unfortunate. They can't. But Rene Carcamo, he was charged with illegally disposing of dead cats. Yeah, it comes from Yonkers, but he wasn't charged with killing the cats. Now, you know he killed the cats. We know he killed the cat. I mean, who's killing the cats and giving them to this guy, or else it's an accomplice, okay? But anyway, by the way, you know, they determined that these cats were killed with blows to the head at various times throughout the previous year. And they were dead. At least they were dead when he put them in the bags. I mean, it's sad to say. But they were discovered again last April by a Publix work crew that was doing an animal cleanup. And this took place again in Yonkers. And the authorities also found, well, this is kind of interesting. They found two sick kittens that were severely neglected in this guy's possession. Carcamo, loser, okay? So they're going to charge him with animal cruelty. Well, let me tell you, you got to charge him with a lot more than that. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. These innocent cats, I mean, you know what? There's so many wackos out there. We get giving out 25 awards on a daily basis. I could take the whole show giving out Get Your Shit Together awards to people like this jackass. So anyway, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about Laurel. She's going to be calling in any minute now. So when the phone rings, I'm going to pick up. She's on, but it's all about empowering yourself and your brand. That's why she founded Elevate My Brand in 2010. Just a few years ago, a couple years back, she holds a JD MBA. If you guys don't know, that's a law degree and an MBA from Rutgers University. Yeah, my neck of the woods. She sits on the board of directors of Change America, right? The Fender Music Foundation, Totally Fabulous Females, and what else we got here? Startup. Yeah, she's got all sorts of things. She's an advisor to the LA chapter of Girls in Tech. She's a mentor with the Jewish Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Los Angeles. Yeah, she's had a, she's been on the bar, California bar, since 2006. I mean, this woman rocks it. So we're going to hear more when she calls in about how do you elevate your brand? Why do you want to elevate your brand? You need to elevate your brand. You know, check out yesterday's discussion with Jana, who, by the way, introduced me to Laurel. I mean, there's a network here. And it sounds like Laurel, I'm going to find out more, but she's really big into empowerment, which we're all talking about. Empowering yourself, right? Empowering others. I mean, what do these guys do? Elevate. Elevate your brand. Well, elevate my brand. It's about brand image and identity development, brand strategy, management, and exposure strategies, marketing strategies, collateral, right? You need the collateral, strategic events, marketing research, product and company launches. That's really popular. You got a launch event, social media strategies and execution, trade shows, business development. Yeah, some of her clients include Saks Fifth Avenue, Lebec Fenn. Oh, by the way, that's a Philadelphia. Yeah, I like that. I think she did a lot of work in Philly at some point. The Susan G. Komen for The Cure and Dress for Success. Yeah, I like that. Right. Elevating the brand. And Strata International and Hera Yoga, all sorts of companies here. So check out her website, elevatemybrand.com. We're going to learn more when she calls in any minute now. But again, it's about elevating and elevating yourself. It's not just your brand, right? It's your individual soul. It's all about mind, body, and soul, in addition to what you guys do on a daily basis. So think about it. How can you prepare yourself for the future in today's environment with all the social media? I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. So much going on, and how do you sort of position yourself? I mean, when I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, wow, you know, what do you post? How do you post? How do you make an emotional connection? That's what Janice said yesterday. How do you make emotional connection with your audience, with your customers, your consumers? I mean, how do you do that? You have to make an emotional connection. Because, you know, nobody is so much, you know, nowadays people have the attention span of a gnat, right? You give them like 6 seconds. What, Vine? I think Vine, it's like a 6 second video. I mean, in 6 seconds or maybe 3 seconds, you got to get your point across. It used to be the elevator pitch. I remember when I was growing up, it was, hey, what's the elevator pitch? You got a minute, 90 seconds on the way up on the elevator to pitch your story for someone to be interested. Now, I don't think you get that. I think it's like, you know, a 6 second pitch. How do you do that without speaking so quickly that nobody understands what you're talking about? I don't think I talk that fast, do I? Maybe I do. But anyway, you got to do it. You got to put the time and the energy into defining yourself. I mean, that's what I guess she's talking about when we're talking about strategies. First, you have to determine who it is that you are or what you want to convey, and then how to go about doing it and doing it on a daily basis, right? You got to stay in front of people on a daily basis, make the connection, emotional connection, and, you know, grow your business, because it's important, folks. Businesses go out of business every day. So, all right, there you go. What else? what else can we talk about here? Because it sounds like she's got a little bit of my background, too, with the NBA, the JD. I thought about that at Penn. I thought about the JD NBA, but I'm like, it was a, I think it was a, what is it, I think it was a four-year program, right? I'll ask her about that. I think it's a four-year program. NBA is a two-year program, and the law of three, so I think you do it in four. Pretty cool stuff. Well, bright gal here. I love the fact that she's helping out all sorts of organizations. And then that's another thing. Sitting on these boards, it probably pulls you in many directions, but you get to influence many different factions of society. And that's a positive thing. So again, elevate your brand whenever you can, right? Stay positive with it. And that's another thing. You know, how do you know what you're putting out to the universe is what you really want to communicate? I don't know. I mean, that's where Janet comes in. I told that story yesterday. I bumped into her on Hollywood Boulevard and about 2 years ago, and I said, Janet, you know, first chance I get when I get start up another company again. I don't know how many I've started up thus far, but when we get started up again, I said, I gotta get you going. Well, here we go. Here's Laurel Mintz. I think this is her. Let's see. Is that you, Laurel?
It is me. Hi, Rich.
Awesome. How are you? Thanks for calling.
I am well. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, awesome. So I just gave a nice overview of Elevate My Brand from 2010 and your background, JD MBA, and all the boards you sit on and all the good stuff you're up to. I mean, it's some really good stuff here.
Thank you. We believe in giving back to our community while elevating brands.
Yeah, and is that something, I mean, I like that too. I mean, is that something you highly recommend? First of all, I think everybody should be giving back whenever they can. I mean, like Dress for Success, one of your clients, I mean, I know them well. And, you know, you got to have that in your heart to give back. But does that coincides with elevating your brand, right? Because you're elevating yourself in society as well.
Well, regardless of whether you're a for-profit or a non-profit company, everybody needs that kind of support. So for us, we obviously give discounts to the non-profit brands that we work with, but it also gives us that warm, fuzzy feeling. I would also say that for for-profit brands, to tie to nonprofits is a really great marketing opportunity because you can leverage their audience for new and emerging brands. So it's a lot of pay-for-play, but it also has that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Right. When you say tied to them, do you say like maybe give a percentage or like a random number or like kind of link a certain percentage on a yearly basis? I mean, what do you recommend?
Well, there's a lot of different ways you can approach it. But for example, Susan G. Komen's a brand we've worked with for a long time. And in October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a lot of the for-profit brands like to go pink. It's actually a campaign that they've developed years ago before we even came on board. So I can't take too much on that one. But what brands will do is they'll pink out their website. They'll pink out the brand, whether it's a digital brand or an actual brick and mortar or a physical product. And then all of their sales in October, they'll give 10% back to that nonprofit. So that's one way that you can kind of leverage both in a digital and offline way.
I like that. I think the NFL does that, right? They do something
like
that.
They did. Yeah, they did. All of those big, tough guys in pink socks.
Big, tough. That's right. No, that's a good thing. Well, let me ask you this. So you have a company. Let's say it's a startup. They've been around for a year, maybe two, three guys out of their garage, you know, a la Microsoft. And they kind of, you know, they have a great concept. They're working their 14 hours a day, but you know, most founders, I mean, this I know, they're not exactly marketing people. You know, they found their company, whether they're scientists, whatever, and they reach a point where they say, okay, we need help. I mean, what's the first thing, you know, first thing you do, someone walks in the door where they have no real identity. They just have this concept. I mean, it's like it's like almost overwhelming, right? There's so much to do.
Yeah, well, I think the place to start is by developing the brand itself. But when clients come to us, we ask four questions. What's keeping them up at night? How urgent are those needs? What's their budget? And are they really ready to solve that problem? If they can't answer those questions, they need to go back, talk with their team, and figure those things out because that's really the baseline for the development of any brand.
Oh, I like that. What's keeping you up at night?
Answer though, you know,
right?
It's always the numbers.
Well, it's how to get people to embrace our product mostly, right? It's like, okay, how do we get the word? Because nowadays getting the word out there, I just talked briefly about this, where I believe that the the attention span, it's like we've kind of entered a world where the vines are 6 seconds, everything is like seconds, where it used to be a couple minutes. Now you got seconds to kind of grab them and say, hey, you know, this is what we do.
Yeah, people are just not consuming content now the way they were back in the day. So you have to be really impactful in a very, very short amount of time, as you were saying. So that means the campaigns have to be really out there and in your face, or there's campaigns called gross out campaigns where you're trying to just freak people out. I mean, there's all kinds of different fun, kind of disruptive ways that you can have an impact in your marketing, even though it's so short in terms of the time frame that you have to touch your audience.
When I think of that, I just keep, my mind keeps going back to Kim Kardashian. Janet didn't want to tell. It's like, you know, what's going on with all that? Why did they, who knows?
Well, I don't know if that's a gross out campaign, although some people listening in probably think it is.
But, it's, you know, a growth, her, it's her a growth is, campaign for men. No.
Right, exactly. But they're, I mean, they are a marketing machine. They really have tapped in. So they created a brand, and then they leveraged social media right when it was starting to kind of pick up steam, you know, about 6, 7, 8 years ago. And that has allowed them to propel into a whole new, you know, stratosphere of brand recognition.
Does it really turn into sales of what, or just makes her money? I mean, where do the sales come from with that? Oh, everything she's tied to?
Yeah, I mean, she's developed a whole different, you know, conglomerate of brands that she's tied to, whether it's, you know, her fashion line, she's got a perfume. I mean, there's just a million things that her momager has helped them to create in terms of, you know, actual brand presence. And then they get paid in a digital capacity as well. I think she gets paid something like $10,000 per tweet. So brands understand the value of her reach globally in the marketplace, and they actually pay her and all of her sisters as well to socialize their brands.
Wow. Talk about timing. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, she's like a modern-day Paris Hilton, right? Paris was like at the forefront but didn't catch the wave, right? She kind of got a little
totally older. Yeah, I actually was thinking about that in that exact reference the other day. Paris Hilton must be a little PO'd that she didn't, she wasn't on that crest of the wave, totally.
Yeah, no, timing is everything. I started an internet company back in 99, but I kind of missed it. The wave was already crashing, so we were sort of catching that tail end. That's important too, right? I mean, how do you go about trying to time when who knows? I mean, with the way life is, right? It's like, how do you time it with these strategies, or you just continue to evolve with them on a daily basis?
Well, I think that you need to be conscious of what's trending and make sure that you're doing your best to keep up with the Joneses, but also to stay kind of ahead of that trend. So a great example of that is content marketing. So, you know, everybody's been saying for years that content is king, but they haven't really understood what that meant. And now there's this really interesting gap between artists, let's take that as an example, artists and brands. And there's this middle space where people really want to monetize the artists, tie them to brands, and get this additional global visibility. But how are they doing that? That's kind of the missing piece right now, and a lot of agencies in our space are trying to figure out how to aggregate that content, tie it to brands, and really create a larger platform for artist recognition. And that's just one example.
Well, when I think of tying in someone to a brand, artist and or a celebrity, you know what I think of? George Foreman. You remember the grill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that grill. I remember. Yeah, that grill sat. I remember. I saw an interview with his wife. She said that grill sat in our closet for 2 years until I took it out one day. And then, you know, it's like with the timing, people are ready for it. It's the right celebrity with the right product. I mean, you know, it kind of it worked for him, big time.
Well, you have to make sure that you're staying on brand, that you're staying true to supporting your brand position. So for him, that was a perfect brand tie-in because he was so fitness and health-related, and that was the exact message of that product. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a really important thing for people to recognize as well. You don't want to just kind of pimp out your brand or your persona to a brand that's not in line with your bigger brand vision.
Right, because then you'll just be a sellout.
Totally.
You don't want to be a sellout. Well, it sounds like, I mean, what I definitely was at your site, I mean, elevatemybrand.com. I mean, it sounds like what you're doing is you got all the professionals like in different niches that are kind of have their finger on the pulse, whereas two startup guys, I mean, even myself, it's like, you know, there's too much to worry about with getting what I do down versus how do I keep track of what's trending? That's like impossible.
Yeah, well, you know, I always try and surround myself with people who are a lot smarter than me, so I've got a fantastic team. But what we did, which I think differentiates us in this space, because let's face it, there are so many different agencies out there, is that our clients would come to us and they thought that they had maybe 3 issues, and in fact, they had like 85 issues. So when we created the agency, we created it with the end client in mind. And so we consider ourselves to be completely vertical, meaning we can help develop a brand, we can help launch it globally, we've got PR teams, live events, digital development, social media, really everything that our clients need to get in front of their audience so that they can be more visible, which should equal more profitability for them.
Yeah, when you say vertical, I'm thinking one-stop shopping and I'm going to Barney's.
Exactly. I like your style.
Yeah, I go to Barney's. That's where I get all my wedding gifts. It's like, you know, I don't go to like Tiffany. I say, you know, go to Barney's. They really have, it's vertical, and right, each floor, it's similar. Like, it's imagine a building and each floor, because that's what you don't want to do. As someone who starts a business, you don't want to have 5 different entities because that gets confusing.
Right. And it's not just about building the entities. It's about the agency relationship. Because if you're hiring a team outside of the brand, outside of the company to help elevate the brand, you want to make sure that the brand messaging stays consistent over any platform. And what we found with brands is that they would build these relationships with different agencies, a PR agency on one side, an events agency on the other side, a digital strategy agency. And because so many different hands were working in the brand, the message got very muddled and consumer confusion. Confusion is the number one reason that people don't buy your product or service. So by offering this vertical, we were allowed to kind of control that message and how their audience sees it and consumes it.
It's interesting because what you're doing is you're providing an all-encompassing service, but at the same point, less is more, right?
I mean, totally.
Less is always more. The more simple, simplify that, having the one-stop shop, I believe, is that's the way to go. So talk about some of the, you know, you have some great clients here. I mean, I've been shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue. I mean, Lebecq Fenn, I mean, in Philly, you were in Philly, huh?
I was in law school and business school at Rutgers, but at the South Jersey campus, and I realized that that was not my favorite place. In fact, I think at that year, Camden was voted like the country's number one most dangerous city. So my nice Jewish parents sent me over the bridge to Philadelphia and, you know, wanted me to stay there so that I was protected.
I used to run over that bridge. I used to live at the Chocolate Works. You know it?
Oh, sure. Totally. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I lived at Rittenhouse Square on 18th and Walnut.
Oh, nice. I lived at 17th and Locust at some point, too. So. Yeah, no, Philly's there, and as a matter of fact, a good buddy, Malcolm Brown, not that you know that name, he went to law school there, but I think I'm a lot older than you, probably. We won't go there, but no, she's right at the Camden, that's changed, I'm sure it's changed, right? The whole Philly market has changed. Has Camden changed? Have you ever been back to school, or?
You know, I haven't been back in years, unfortunately, but I think like anything, gentrifying is happening in some of those funky areas. Mm-hmm. And I know that when we were there at school, we actually developed a program to go into those inner city schools and help kind of up-level the educational programming for the youth there, which was, again, something that was really close to my heart. So I know we tried to do our part there for sure.
Yeah, no, and you're also big, I like this, lifestyle, food and wine. I mean, you really kind of enjoy the finer things in life, right? And you're bringing those to your clients.
Well, you know, the perks there are really great, I have to tell you. So it's fun. But what's cool is that we are really in so many different verticals. There's really nothing we haven't touched at this point other than maybe government. And what that allows us to do is take all of these new theories, new trends in these different markets and kind of cross-pollinate strategies and as well cross-pollinate our clients. So, for example, if we're doing a gala for a nonprofit, say Pathpoints, a big nonprofit we're working with, we can bring in all of our brands that want visibility to that high-end marketplace, and they'll donate food and product and alcohol and all the things that allow us to then manage the budget better for the nonprofit.
Well, I like that. It's almost like community leverage.
Totally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're leveraging off of the relationships and you kind of connect everybody. I mean, I like that. No, it's the way it goes because it is a community, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always a community.
One hand has to feed the other or scratch the back or some metaphor like that, right?
Yeah, of course. Now I see. Yeah, you got the law. So by the way, is that 4 years, right, JD MBA?
It is, yeah. Four long years and lots of student loans.
I know. I thought about it, but now I'm like, thought about it. But now I end up going to Kellogg for that, but that's like 2 years is enough. But no, you sit on a lot of board of directors. I mean, it sounds like you're all over, right? All these organizations. I mean, you're being pulled in many different directions, but that's a good thing, right? Again, you're tying it all together, bringing it to your clients.
Well, I think sitting on boards is a really important thing for CEOs to be doing, both in the nonprofit and for-profit space, because then you have your hands in the decision-making process for those companies. So, you know, we have to be completely transparent if we're going to be bidding on any RFPs for any of the companies that we sit on the boards for. But it does give you, you know, a foot in the door for some major companies that you otherwise probably wouldn't have relationships with. So there's, again, the you know, warm and fuzzy side of it, where I can bring my expertise to a company that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford, you know, our agency fees. But I also get to kind of mix and mingle with some high-end people who are sitting on other company boards, and it's a great business development tool for me as well.
Right. I mean, that's, you're kind of paving the way for your clients as well. RFPs, by the way, people who don't know, it's called Request for Proposal.
Jargon.
I'm a big business guy. I could, you know, I'm translating, but no, I love it. I love what your company's all about, because I do believe that it's very important. It's very important for any organization out there to kind of have the finger on the pulse. And like you said, trending. I mean, nowadays, every day you wake up and you look under trending, forget about it. It's a whole new day, right?
Mm-hmm.
24 hours, yeah. It's like the world flips on its side.
Yeah, I actually think there's no longer, it's not really a 24-hour news cycle, it's like an hour news cycle. Like, you're old news in an hour's time, because there's so much happening in the social sphere that just, you know, kicks you out of that space. So you have to have a really impactful marketing strategy to stay on top of things.
No, you do. You definitely do. And, you know, like I said, the attention span, you got to stay out there. Well, this sounds like you're doing some great things. So anybody out there is interested in learning more, elevatemybrand.com. Definitely check it out. Great website, by the way.
And
it's,
thanks so
and
much.
It's very clear. You know what Laurel's up to, the team. You know, it's all there. And your social media, is that the same as well, all the social media?
In terms of?
Where do we find you on social media?
Oh, sorry. Hello. We're at Elevate My Brand, and then you can find me personally at Laurel J. Mintz. Facebook is Elevate My Brand, and same with Instagram. So we're on a bunch of different platforms. We've got some really fun campaigns that we share with people, and yeah, come find us.
Yeah, find them. Give her an email. I mean, reach out, and yeah, good luck with all that. But let me ask you this, because I like to do what's called the Fast Five. Five quick questions, Laurel, to give us a little more insight into your personality. So
okay.
I'm going to shoot them at you, whatever comes to mind. Let's
is this the Rorschach test?
Oh, well, it's funny. A lot of people like it, but they're like, oh, that was easy, because they get all nervous. When they're in the studio, they get nervous. I hold up a blue piece of paper just to shock them. All my papers.
All right, bring it on.
All right, here we go. Number one. Chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla.
Ooh. Well, I was thinking chocolate for you for some reason.
My husband's a chocolate person. I'm more vanilla because I think you can mix it in with more things. I don't know.
Ah, I see. I got it. Number two, tropical island or New York City?
Tropical island.
Really? I think you'd be a city gal. All the cities you've lived in.
You know, I'm a city gal, but when it comes to getting away, I need a tan. Let's be honest.
Let me get that tan, and all I need is the sun. You got
yep,
it.
Yep, exactly.
Here's a good one. Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Ooh, I think ancient Rome, because I look better in that clothing category, I think.
I look better in a toga.
Yep, exactly. And white. I look good in white and toga. Ooh, there you go.
Nice, nice. All right, number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Tearjerker, for
ooh,
sure.
All the way. Give me one that you like that you watched recently. Anything?
I have not watched the movie in forever, but you know what was really good that everyone should see is we just saw Birdman with Michael Keaton. That was an amazing film. It's out right now. People should definitely go check that out.
Yeah, I was torn between Mondays. I do Movie Mondays, and I always want to get a film that just comes out. But I wanted to see Birdman and review it because I heard it was great. But I chose Dumb and Dumber 2, and that was pretty dumb.
Was it dumb? I thought that they were going to do a good job with it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I love both of those guys, and I think mm-hmm. they do a great job. But, yeah, you don't really – there's no roaring laughter. It's like, yeah,
really?
You kind of chuckle.
Oh, man, that's disappointing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I gave it one thumbs out of three. So, yeah, it's the lowest score I've given in 12 weeks. But, what can
wow.
you do?
Wow. Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Well, anyway, here we go. Number five, last one here. Candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Candlelight dinner.
Well, I knew that was coming because if you Le Bec Fin is, what, one of the nicest restaurants in the world, probably, arguably?
Yep. The only five-star restaurant in Philadelphia, although I do believe they just shut down not too long ago. You know, the truth of the matter is that that kind of white glove, white table service is really not on trend right now. So so I think that they've transitioned the model there.
Yeah, that's because our society with these young bucks coming up, I mean, they don't get it. They don't want to put that tuxedo on anymore.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, what can you do? Well, Laurel, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I mean, this time goes by really quick. So again, check her out. Check out the website, elevatemybrand.com. Yeah, I do. Again, I do appreciate the conversation. Good talking with you.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate being able to kind of share our vision with your audience.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, you guys should definitely, if you got to learn more, you really need to do the research, but check out her website. Check it out. Or Jenna's as well. I mean, hers, alinemedia.com. I mean, yeah, a little bit different. I mean, Laurel's more of the vertical, as she talked about, encompassing it all. But, hey, that's our show for today, folks. Goes quick. Really good. Thanks again to Laurel Mintz for her insights. And thanks again for listening, everybody. And tune in tomorrow. Yeah, man, a couple days left here before we hit YouTube on Monday. I'm going to be interviewing the founder and CEO of Stage 32. It's the social networking community. There's that word again. For the entertainment industry. I'm a member of the site. CEO, founder is Richard R.B. Botto. Can't wait to be talking to him. And yeah, you guys know the drill. I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola. Right here on LA Talk Radio.